Good afternoon. My name is Tim Perkins. I'm the EMS Systems Planner with the Commonwealth of Virginia Department of Health Office of Emergency Medical Services. I think my best story would probably be one that is kind of geared towards anyone who is hesitant about getting into this business, or whether you want to get in EMS as a volunteer member of a rescue squad or a fire department. And hopefully after hearing my story, it'll help to reinforce the decision that you make to get involved in EMS and to stay involved in EMS. I started as a wet behind the ears teenager with my local fire department in a small town in central New York. My father was the fire chief at the time. My brother was the assistant fire chief at the time. And it had kind of been part of the family business for many, many years. And it was kind of a foregone conclusion that the first chance I could get, I would join the fire department. And I joined right after my 16th birthday, which was at the end of October. And I was voted in at the first meeting that they had in November. And anybody that's been in central New York anytime after Labor Day, you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to see some snow. So my first EMS call was on a Friday afternoon. I had just gotten home from school, and the monitor went off for a MVA, and it had been snowing quite heavily that day, and there was quite a bit of snow on the ground. And at that time, the fire department that I was volunteering for was a BLS FR service with very spotty EMS coverage during the day. And so most of the time, most of the calls I went on during my first few weeks was essentially just to kind of look and get a feel for what was going on. So on this very snowy day, there was a elderly couple that was driving like a Crown Victoria, which T-boned into a Toyota pickup truck. And the elderly gentleman that was driving the Crown Victoria was essentially extricated from the car and was lying on the pavement on a backboard. And my job at that time was to hold a piece of tarp over him to keep the snow off of him until the ambulance showed up. And if I am in this business for another 5 minutes or another 50 years, I will never forget that man immobilized on a backboard looking up at me and mouthing the words, "Help me," over and over and over again, repeatedly. "Help me, help me, help me." And at one point he grabbed at my fire coat and as tight as he could held on to me and said, "Help me, help me, help me." And he died essentially right there on the pavement that afternoon. He ended up having a cervical fracture and he didn't survive. And as a 16-year-old kid, that was a very, very impressionable on me. And I can tell you that I didn't get any sleep for probably the first probably week after that happened, because every time I closed my eyes, I would see that man and hear him say, "Help me, help me, help me." And after about, I don't know, my eighth or ninth sleepless night, I was sitting in the living room of my parents' house, and my father came downstairs and he, you know, asked me what was going on. And I told him, and he said to me, he said, "Well, the one thing you need to remember is that at the end of the day, you are a 16-year-old kid. You don't have any medical training whatsoever. You had no ability to help that man other than to keep the snow off his face." He said, "You know, you can continue to torment yourself over what you saw or what you heard, or you can recognize that you only can work at the, you know, at the ability that you have and the talents that you have, and that's it." And I think that was probably my first CISM session before there even was, you know, widespread CISM. And so slowly I kind of, you know, came to grips with what had happened. And not long after that, I took my first certified first responder class in New York State because I was too young to take EMT. But that first call will stay with you for the rest of your lives. And that is the point where you make the choice on whether this business is for you and it's not for you. And I'll be the first to admit that during that time where I, you know, couldn't sleep and kept myself awake wondering about that man and, you know, what I could have done, and, you know, essentially was, for all intents and purposes, haunted by what he said to me, I also made the decision that if I could ever do it, I would do it. And I urge each and every one of you, if you are new into an EMT program and you're on the fence of whether or not this is for you, then you should definitely consider that it is. And it's a great business to be in, and it's a lot of fun. I thank everybody for their time. Thank you.
Do you think that having that experience and having him ask you for help over and over again really pushed you to, really gave you the drive and the desire to go on and learn the skills necessary to have helped him?
I think mostly for me, it was an idea of, you know, if I ever was in that situation again, then I would do, you know, I always kind of looked at that as a mistake that I had made, but it really wasn't a mistake. I just didn't have the knowledge. But if I promised myself that if I had the knowledge and the ability, that I would do it. Somebody said not too long ago that those that have the ability to act have the responsibility to act. And there's a lot of truth to that. And once you get a card and once you have the ability to do something, to do whatever interventions are necessary, it should be a no-brainer. You shouldn't hesitate. And for me at that time, the combination of really being upset by not being able to do something for that man and, just my desire to see it all and do it all and experience as much as I could really drove me to say, all right, I need to do this. I need to know this. I want to be able to, be able to do something in the next situation. And obviously, that particular incident, even if I, if I had more training, it probably wouldn't have affected his outcome. But, at the end of the day, the ability that you have to be able to do something is very important. And I can say that, in my paramedic career, that there have been more, bad outcomes than good. Unfortunately, one of the most important parts of life is passing on, unfortunately. And that's one of the things that you really learn in EMS is that, you're going to see more people die than you see born. You're going to do compressions on more people than you're going to deliver babies. And just see, the ability and the knowledge you have to be able to affect that even a little bit is important. And that's what, people that are new to EMT classes need to understand, that you may not have the ability to save every life, but you do have the ability to save one, and one's enough.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.